Greetings to Podcastville. The Church of What's Happened Now is brought to you by Zip Recruiter. Listen to me. Are you hiring? Every business needs great people. And a better way to find them is something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it, all right? Because if you're hiring, ZipRecruiter is the way to go. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. Now, do me a favor. Right now, today, my listeners, the Church of What's Happened Now, the family, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's free right now. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's ZipRecruiter.com/church and give ZipRecruiter a try. Right now, it's the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter.com/church. Kick that motherfucking mule, Lee. Wednesday morning, headed to Columbus, Ohio. It's sold out. Thank you, church. But fuck it, we got business to take care of. AJ Benz is here, the Christ Killer's here, and the Kings of Rock are here, Led Zeppelin, with one of their masterpieces. In the light, you will find. Happening now, baby. This is Robert Plant, smoother than fuck. Hey, yeah, babe, I know how it feels. Oh, cause shit. I slip through to the very depths of my soul. This is deep heroin right here. This is deep heroin. Oh. Now listen, tremendous. Now listen. Tremendous. Oh, whoa, whoa. As I was believing for you too, honey. And this is Paige, this is John Bonham. This is
I will show you
epic, man.
This makes you want to suck a dick. He'd come out with those tight jeans on,
right?
With his dick to the left.
Ooh, let me shake.
Share your love. It's Wednesday, motherfuckers. Rise and shine, bitches. This is it. You had your doubts. It's too late now. You're in. You're in, motherfuckers. Here we go. Right now, you're starting to nod on that heroin and shit. And they suck you back in with this, too. They're such geniuses. Watch this part here. Here we go. See, they suck you back
it.
Right there. Right back to where now you're on the acid.
Yeah.
You're looking for your mother. It's all over, you know what I'm saying?
Whatever that is at the end gets me.
No. That's
the xylophone, whatever.
They designed you. That's fucking John Paul Jones on an organ.
Yeah.
With transmitters on it from Martians and shit. It's the Church of What's Happened Now, motherfucker. Just a casual conversation today with my main man and well-known fucking everything, hey. AJ Benzucci.
What do you say there, Uncle Joey, Lee?
You know, fucking trying to put the pieces together. I got to go to Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, nice.
Columbus. Nice.
It's an Air Force town, I think.
Isn't it an Air Force? I don't know what it is.
I think my
brother. It's a comedy fucking town.
Is it?
Yeah, a lot of that club's been there forever.
Yeah.
And people go there and.
Well, what do you got to do in Ohio? I mean, before the Cavaliers were good, think of a Friday night in Ohio.
You got a ton of shit to do.
Do you? I mean, I'm talking about.
Well, you got to figure Canton is the capital of gambling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the capital.
But Columbus has shit going on?
Columbus is a college.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. All right. I didn't know. I don't travel like that. I didn't know that. Oh, that's why.
Yeah, it's really weird when you travel and you start to learn the demographics of different cities. And then you know you've been on the road for a long time when the demographic of that city changes.
Right.
So let's say for years you did Gotham, but all of a sudden the hottest club in the country is in the Meatpacking District.
Oh, I live there. I know.
And next thing you know, you're in the Meatpacking District where you wouldn't go to
different
20
people.
Years ago. Oh, that's no, where the that's where the restaurants are now. That's where the
Highline Highline is up there. Hotels.
So, it's so weird how you've seen the demographics of cities change over the years. In El Paso, for years, it was the one side of town.
Sure.
Party side. Then all of a sudden, they built up downtown. That guy bought the building. He ate a bag of dicks. Nobody came to the club no more. He got to relocate now and sell the
What
building.
Was Austin like 25 years ago? It must have been.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Very, you know, it's weird when you go to Austin. Somebody, I spoke to a girl. I want to give her a shout out from the Santa Ana Casino. And she was thinking about Austin or Denver as a city to move to. And I told her that in both cities right now that everybody's moving there.
Yeah. Like Atlanta was 20 years ago.
Like everybody's moving to Austin.
Austin.
And Austin's fucking crowded as fuck.
Right, right.
I still love Austin with all my heart. I was just there with Lee. The food is off
great.
The fucking
map. I heard that.
The people off the map. But you've seen the growth now. It doesn't take 7 minutes to get to the comedy club no more. It takes 15.
Right.
The traffic is doubled, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Houston in a while, but after Katrina, it changed the dynamic of the
city. Listen, that changed the geography of America, and not only just because of what happened to New Orleans, but where the displaced people went. It changed economies. It changed the way people lived. I mean, think of everything that changed. Suddenly, you got hundreds of people displaced from Louisiana who are used to that food, used to that music, and I'm sure places in those other regions took that on, you know? Hey,
well,
we got a lot of Cajuns here now.
A lot of people went to, went to Houston.
Yeah, Houston's a big spot. Right.
It's funny, when I went to Albuquerque this last weekend, I went to Jackson Wink Gym. I want to give him a shout-out. The best gym in the country.
Oh,
best
yeah,
fighters
are that.
There. John Jones, Holly Holmes. They're great strategic, you know, they set up a strategy for a fighter. Cowboy Cerrone's there.
Oh, Cowboy Cerrone's an animal.
Yeah, I had the pleasure going and visiting the gym, and the gentleman, Mike, who picked me up and drove me back and forth, was telling me the film explosion in Albuquerque and how they're shooting everything.
Yeah.
They still got the tax break.
They got the tax break, yeah.
And when those guys were shooting Breaking Bad, a lot of them bought houses down there. But they had to sell the houses because of the high burglary and crime rate.
Really?
Your car gets broken into a lot there.
From Mexicans and shit? From over the border? Or no?
Who knows? Who knows who's doing it? It's funny. This is a funny story. About 20 years ago, when I used to go on the road years ago, I was a big reader. When I first moved here, I was enamored with the mafia because from my second audition to my sixth, it was all mob
characters.
Of course,
And
I went out for a movie here that was never made. And it was about a Queens crew.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the people were fucking morons.
Yeah.
Anybody who shows up with a mob script 9 out of 10 times is a fucking
Every
moron.
Mobster I know eventually had a script.
So, you know, this we had to go down to that building on Sunset and Vine. On the bottom, on the corner. There used to be a building. They just got redone.
Yeah.
There's a coffee bean across the
street.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, exactly.
And there's a little seafood restaurant that blows across the street that I ordered spaghetti and clam sauce with shrimp, and they gave me shrimp out of a can. I almost fucking lost my mind.
They should burn it down.
So I went there, and the guy offered me a ton of money for this movie. And I'll never forget that. He asked me about these characters, and I didn't know. I knew that world, but I didn't know who he was talking about. And I went on the road, and I would go to true crime, and every $500 I got, half of it went to blow, but the other half went to Barnes and Nobles. I just
used to buy,
and I hate used books. I hate when somebody else reads a fucking book.
Really?
Yeah, it drives me crazy. I want to read the book first. All right?
Really?
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
They take it in the bathroom, they shit with
it.
Yeah,
who the fuck knows? I don't want to read nobody else's fucking
it's
book.
It's all tagged up.
So unless I know you, you give me the book, I don't mind that fucking shitty paper. So I started reading all this true crime shit, and I read about this guy. I read about Witsec. There was a book called Witsec for a while.
I don't know that one.
And in Witsec, they gave a lot of information. I mean, for them to give out this much information, there was a guy who wrote about the pitfalls of Witsec.
I don't know what that is.
If this book must have come out in 97.
What's WITSEC?
WITSEC, the witness relocation.
Oh, the, okay. I'm like, I thought it was an area.
It was all about,
oh, about that.
When mobsters the WITSEC program,
okay,
how hard their lives become. Like, they had the example of the guy that went in, but while he went in, he made a cookbook, and he got on Letterman, and the feds are like...
I remember that.
Are you fucking retarded?
Yeah.
You cannot go on David Letterman. And he said, I'm going on David Letterman.
Yeah.
So he told the feds to go fuck themselves. He got the David Letterman. David Letterman canceled him.
Oh.
Said, I can't put you on now because you created too much fucking havoc.
Oh, God.
So it was fucking crazy. But it had about...
What was it? How was that guy?
The towns that they set up.
Yeah.
WITSEC was a book about the towns they had set up. The government.
Right.
Had set up towns to put different witness relocations in that town so it would be easy for them to monitor.
Sure.
Hysterical.
And they had the list of cities, and then they had the they took the book and they wrapped it around Henry Hill, really.
Sure.
It wasn't about Henry Hill, but they had an example.
It's the most famous rat
of how the witness relocation plan is really destructive, because just because you move them to fucking Nebraska doesn't mean they stop stealing.
You put a criminal in the neighborhood.
They go fucking bananas. Well, they go fucking bananas. You know, I'm driving down the street and I see these people who don't lock their doors.
Yeah.
You know, what are you, fucking crazy?
Right.
I'm going to rob it.
Right.
Your garage is open with a tractor.
I know.
I know a guy who buys trailers down the corner, you know. So the problem they were having, the rate of recidivism,
yeah.
They even did a movie called My Blue Heaven.
I remember.
It was
Steve
brilliant,
Martin.
Brilliant Funny movie. Where they took all the stories of how that's what happens. So they would move, let's say me and Benza, I was with the Gambinos and Benza was with the fucking Genovese. They would take us and put us both in a suburb of Houston.
Yeah.
And like take their chances of us bumping into each other.
Yeah. I know.
And how many people in the town were witness protection?
They would put
50%?
Like 3-4
I thought it was entire towns of them, and
they wouldn't put two mobsters in there.
Right.
They put two mobsters, a Jew attorney who had information on narcos, a couple that did drug pushing for the Cali cartel.
Yep.
So you would know. These would just be regular people, but it was easier for the feds to monitor this town.
Yeah, that's all.
One of the towns that they had when I went to Albuquerque was, I think, they Rio something. And that was one of the cities that they mentioned in this book.
Yeah.
And I heard through the years that that's where they sent Big Joe Messina.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting.
So I'm doing radio down there, and I'm talking to him, and I go, that's funny because I heard Big Joe Messina's down here. And the guy goes, that's funny because the name of the restaurant, the best Italian restaurant, is Big Joe's restaurant. When Sammy the Bull,
he opened up in Phoenix.
He opened up a restaurant in Phoenix. And the slogan of it was the best kept secret in Tempe.
It's
are like you fucking
right
kidding
in their
me?
Face.
Right in their face.
And that's what Weinstein ate by accident, complete accident. I had a story that
But
he showed up at fucking Sammy's joint, thinking it was low, whatever he thought, but it was the worst place to go. And it's also funny, you know, of all the places to go, you got to go to Sammy. Maybe he was told to go there because he did Mob Wives on TV. Maybe he heard from Karen Gravano that her dad has a. Open the place and we gotta get him on the show.
No, the dad doesn't own them anymore.
No, not anymore.
They got locked up. They sold it.
Yeah.
And I think the mother went back to work there for a while.
But I thought it's still family owned in some capacity. Or maybe it was.
No,
not
once
now.
Once the feds come in for ecstasy, you lose everything.
No,
they take the restaurant.
Yeah,
they take the fucking.
It was like $700,000 a month.
Yeah, he was making
some cleaning
dough.
Up.
He was making some dough.
I can't imagine. Because like I didn't grow up with the internet, I came when I was a teenager. But when you like, even when Joey, you have stories of going to Florida to be on the lam.
But
I don't even think that's possible really anymore. Like, it'd be really hard.
Gotta go
like,
to a beach. Went to beach town.
No, I could do it.
Yeah, my
you
friend,
think so?
My friend did a couple years.
But you wouldn't be stupid and open up a comedy club called Joey's or Coco's.
No. You put a hat. You shave your head. You put a hat on.
Sure.
You mix into the community, but not really.
Just enough so you don't stand out.
Sure.
You don't make any commotions. You're not out at night at all. You have to live, like in the third season of Narcos, at the end, they said that the guy, Salcedo, that ratted on Narcos is somewhere in the country.
Right.
Now you see him working as a mechanic.
Right.
and he's waiting online on a Kentucky Fried Chicken, but all of a sudden they show the camera on Kentucky Fried Chicken, how that's a complete different world of its own.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Henry Hill. Henry Hill went to 7 different locations.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he caused havoc.
He was a problem. Yeah, he was a problem. He was constantly a problem.
He was a problem in Memphis, even, then they sent to Tennessee.
Even when he was out and lived in L.A., he was a fucking problem. Even when he was out of the witness protection, his last few years in L.A., he was a lunatic.
He was crazy.
Still causing shit.
And getting drunk in public. He was high, drunk
all the time.
Every time I saw him. You know what? I never shook the guy's hand.
He was at a bench in Beverly Hills.
I always thought he was the kiss of death. Like, yeah. The first time I was at the store, and somebody came up to me, like, go to the front. Henry Hill's up there talking to Chewy. I got in my car. And I drove out of there as fast as I fucking could.
What good can he bring?
And then when I did the other Rats movie, who I love. I love Sal Lubatz.
I don't know Sal.
I love Sal Lubatz. Yeah? He used to live here, now he lives over there.
Okay.
And I just spoke to him about 3 weeks ago. Sal Lubatz was the first guy in a rat on Rod Gotti.
Real? What's his last name?
Lubatz.
Sal. That's not real. That means
look
crazy.
Up what his last name?
Lubatz means crazy.
Sal.
I don't know. Sal
was the first guy
really?
To roll on
and Gotti's crew?
But.
Arena? No.
It's funny because, like, I always understood why. Sammy rolled because he was very smart.
Smart
Sammy
guy.
Knew numbers. Knew numbers. He knew how to negotiate. He knew exactly where the bodies were hidden.
He had business.
And he knew that if he didn't go first.
Yeah.
Sammy knew.
Yeah.
He went. Sammy was so good that when he went first, they wouldn't believe nobody else. Until they finally had so much testimony that Sammy did sell drugs.
Yeah.
That they said, this can't be lies. Everybody's coming in here saying Sammy's selling drugs.
Yeah.
But fucking, he's saying that he never sold a drug in his life. The last time they put him in, because he said he never shot a cop. And he was the guy that gave the Iceman the fucking job to kill that cop.
Yeah, man.
So they put him in jail for that, and then the Iceman died by mistake. What's Sal Lubatz?
Not Polisi, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Polisi. Oh,
Sal
sure.
Polisi.
Of course I know Sal Polisi. Yeah, I didn't know Lubatz. Okay, yeah, Polisi.
It's crazy because when you look at a rat, you go, well, he's a rat.
Yeah.
All right, fuck him. He's a rat. He did this and this and this. But as I got older, I understood the differences.
Yeah.
All right, I understood the differences.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get him, like, I think of The Sopranos.
Mm.
And I walk in my house and I go, what if I was Tony Soprano? What if I just came from shooting somebody and I got to come in the house and play with my kid? Like, the cops aren't going to knock on my door.
Yeah.
I just came from a wire room where fucking I'm taking action on fucking whatever.
Yeah.
There's chicks there. They're sucking my dick. You know, half the crew's on blow.
And you got to come home.
Not to do coke.
Right.
And you're drinking all day and you got to come home. I would never comprehend that life.
No, I can't.
Like, I can't imagine somebody kicking my door down. I can't imagine opening my door with mercy and somebody driving by and shooting at me because I made the wrong decision on a family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even imagine that.
But
world.
Imagine even, like, if you're John Gotti, because I used to see him out. You know, imagine him doing what he was doing, running a lot of places here and there. But then... And fucking beautiful women. And then eventually he's got to go home to the little house in Howard Beach with the wife and the old bedrooms. And I'm sure they have old furniture from the third year they were married. I bet there's still stuff in there from their first 10 years of marriage. A couch, you know, with the plastic on it or something. How do you fucking go from that world? But he did it for a good amount of time. You know, really running the fucking family and then going back to... He didn't have the big mansion like Paulie Castellano. He didn't do shit like that. He was flashy with his suits, and he's flashy in public with certain people. But, you know, he loved that. He really liked that adulation from people. Even when I used to go see him in court, he'd come out of the car. It was like a movie, because that's why they love it. The mafia. They're so dramatic in what they do. You know, if you're a black gangster, you come out of the car a different person. You're an Italian gangster, you come out, you got $100 bills for the homeless guy. You kiss the fucking newswoman who's always on your back with the money. People start to love seeing you. You know? It's a different type of gangster. Mexican gangster doesn't come out of his house with people loving him around the neighborhood.
I still always like the guy who drives the 69 car beat up.
Yeah.
Who has jeans with a hole in it, who's playing stupid.
Right.
I'll never forget going to this place when I was a kid on 42nd Street, right around the corner from the Lincoln Tunnel. And you went to get your dick sucked there. It was like a long fucking street.
Really?
It was probably 46th Street, yeah. 41st Street, whatever the fuck it was. There was a long street, and I had a couple friends who would go there and say, I want to get my dick sucked, and we'd have to get out of the car and sit there.
I remember that, yeah. We did that, too, in high school, 1980.
I'll never forget, like, girls walking over and going, what, you guys don't want to get your dick sucked? And we're like, nah, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And one day, my friend said, where's your pimp? And this was early on. We were, like, juniors in high school.
Yeah.
She was like, we ain't got no pimps. We run our own game and
right.
all this shit. I'll never forget there was a guy in a wheelchair that was in the corner.
Yeah.
And one day, somebody said to me, next time you go over there,
yeah.
make sure that the guy with the wheelchair in the corner. And I went over there just to drive somebody one day.
Right.
And I saw that guy, and I put two and two together.
He's
and I go,
the pimp.
That's weird. And they go, wheels. He's the pimp.
He's wheels.
He's got a machine gun under there. He's playing handicap.
Oh, really?
He'd have the sign, give me money, Vietnam vet. But he had a gun under that, and he would shoot you if you messed with his chicks. Because they had to suck your dick on that block.
I remember that. Well,
that block was fucking disgusting.
Well, we went, it was 1980, 79, 80, 81. And we thought 42nd Street, because that's where the show world was with the peep shows and shit, with the windows that come up. But then for blowjobs, we found out you got to go on the west side, 10th Avenue, 11th Avenue. We went by, it was a UPS facility. Where the trucks are. It also happens to be where they take the horse carriages from Central Park outside the plaza. The carriages go back to 10th Avenue and 47th Street. So we found that one night, bunch of carriages, and they're open. And the hookers would come down the street like it was the night of, like it was Walking Dead, the TV show, like zombies, like 20 of them at once. And, you know, you had your pick and five guys in a Cadillac, you know, from Long Island with fucking $40 in our pocket. You know, we took our chains were robbed. One of my friends got blown, his pants around his ankles. And as the girl was blowing him, she was putting her fingers in his back pocket, inside his wallet without...
They would rob
him. And behind your back, she's taking the money out and putting your wallet... On the way back to Long Island, I had $40. I have no money. We were fucking no...
Yeah, they were pickpockets. I had a... You know how I always fuck with your Chicha Bastich?
Right, yeah. Okay, that's my favorite nickname. I don't know
Chicha
what it
Bastich.
There was two kids in my neighborhood. There was one, Bobby Pierce, and he hung around with Chicha Bastich in 1982. 1981, 1982, 83. Chicha Bastich used to call me rubber because your face is like rubber, he used to say. You're rubber. He used to hear that name for me. And they were getting to arguments with one another. Fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about. A 79 Corvette is better than a 67.
Right.
They were two fucking knuckleheads. So I heard a story about them going to the city one night. Because Chicha Bastich always had some type of saying. Had something.
Yeah.
And they're in the city. They go and they go to get their dick sucked in an abandoned building. Both their pants are down. The chicks are about to suck their dick, and they both pull out pieces, and two gorillas come out from the back, and
really?
They got pieces.
Oh, my God.
And they go, give us your money. And Chicha Bastich turns around, and he goes, bah! Like, instead of, like, anything else you could say, like, fuck you or whatever, he goes, bah! I'm not giving you a dime. And they put the gun to his head, and they took his belt, his cash, his fucking shoes. He came back.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, man. Chicha Bastich. I never saw him again. He got him and his buddy Bobby Pierce got arrested for car stealing. You had to be careful in the 70s and 80s.
Sure.
When you went, well, they're sucking your dick. They're taking the wallet out of your pocket.
It was amazing.
It was fucking amazing what they were doing over there, those chicks.
They were just as good at giving you head as they were at robbing you. They were multi-talented girls. But we one time broke loose of a high school field trip. And we were seeing off-Broadway play in the 40s, and that's how we found the 1040 Club. The guys in the above us a year, they would tell us when they were seniors, we used to go, we had a blowjob and get laid.
How old are you?
I'm 56.
I went to the 1040 Club when I was 17 years old.
All right.
And it was the most disgusting.
Now, that was at the end. I mean, it was never beautiful.
No. That was the most disgusting.
But that was the joint. But
experience of my life.
Yeah.
Till this day,
yeah.
Whenever I think of going in, like there's nights I come home at 10 from doing a spot, and I'm like, you know what?
It's a tenner, yeah.
My wife's sleeping.
Yeah.
Let me go to this strip club. And every time that memory flashes into my head, because that was the first time I learned, number one, never go in a car with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, meet me over there. No, I'll drive myself.
Yeah.
Because your friend's a pig.
Who knows what the fuck the person's
my
doing?
My friend's name is Pedro Obregon. He was a Cuban guy. Yeah. And when he found out, I don't know, I hung out with these Cuban kids. There was a handful of them, him and the Ali brothers. Juan Ali and Alberto Ali. Juan was the brains of the operation, right, like Chicho Bastiche. And Alberto was just a moron. And he would agree to everything Juan was saying. When they were 12 in the sixth grade, on the weekends, they would go into the city.
12.
To get their dick sucked at different hookah houses.
Wow.
And tell us the story on Monday. And the brother would be like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They suck your dick. And the brother was half retarded. That, and they worked at their father's shop during the week. And on Saturday, they told their dads they were going to a comic book store.
Fucking great.
And they would take buses into the city.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they found out. They would go to hooker house.
Yeah.
And they would tell you where another
one
is.
You find out. We found out from the kids above us. But then the first time we went, we left the school play. You know, we used to mow lawns for fucking money. We, you know, $5 at a time. And we had enough. We popped lockers in gym one period. And we ended up coming out of like $60 from kids' wallets. So we knew we got money for $10.40. Broke loose of a play. It was a play with Harry Chapin, an off-Broadway play. And we fucking go to $10.40. We thought $10 would get us some. No. That gets you the room. And then the girl gives you the fucking menu of what costs what. We all went back in the fucking hallway at the same time. We were out of money. We had like $10 a piece. We couldn't get shit but the room. One girl took pity on my buddy, you know, the most mature guy, and he fucked her. But then we told that story to the grade underneath us. But we used to get head in the fucking buggies from the Plaza Hotel. They'd park them in the 40s in the 10th Avenue. And that was the place you'd sit in. So, you know, one night there's a black hooker blowing you. And the next day, some newlywed couple are going around Central Park, you know, drinking champagne from the Plaza.
Stepping on your
not
jizz.
Knowing there's jizz.
It's amazing how different we are. Like, I was just thinking about like 12. Like the biggest thing when I was in school was 10th grade. We took a class trip to D.C. And every year, all the kids would sneak off on their one free time and go to Hooters. And I had a cousin. I didn't even go to. I went to my cousin's house with the little kids and had a beer. I thought it was so cool. But they like the big thing was them going to Hooters. And you guys are talking about going and getting hookers at 16.
My mother was dead maybe a year. And I knew Pedro Obregon's dad owned a candy company.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a truck. And at night, you go out in the car with him and there was a truck. Truck stocked with lollipops and M&M's. That's what his father had a company.
Wow.
He had 20 trucks.
Yeah.
They supplied everything in New York for candy. And one night he picks me up in the truck. It's my birthday, like him and six other guys. And we actually went to that 1040 club.
Yeah.
You paid the $10 and I walked into a room and it smelled like
it's
cologne.
Disgusting.
It just smelled like men with cologne.
Yeah.
And that's where I really learned about men. All those good-looking guys that tell you they get pussy.
Yeah.
There were more of them there.
I agree.
Than ugly and fat guys.
Oh, yeah.
There were more good-looking guys in there that looked like Theo Von dressed up with cologne than ugly, fat, nerdy guys.
Yeah.
And women would come out like seven at a time, and you would have to grab them, and then you would negotiate for more dough. And I'll never forget, I took them in the back. $10, she'll fuck me straight.
Yeah.
She put the condom, before they put the condom on you, they wash your dick with a bucket.
Oh, but my day
like
was,
a spit bucket
it was
that
a bucket.
Rocky used.
Yeah, it was a bucket.
The
metal
bucket
wash
from under the bed.
Yep.
What is that going to do?
I don't know, Lee, with a sponge that was used on a thousand dicks.
They just
want
it. Yeah, exactly. It's dick water. It's all
dick
water.
And they wash your balls. Then they put a condom on you. And then they wouldn't put it on with their mouth. And the girl got on top of me, and she looked great on paper with the suit. But when she took her legs off, she had been stabbed.
she had
been shot with a gun.
They got fucking cesarean section scars.
It was fucking disgusting. And she was on top of me. Trying to fuck me, and all I could think about is like, is this what my life is turning into? Like, I always thought it was going to be roses and poetry and flowers. She said to me, for an extra $10, I could hear the rubber hitting her mouth. And she goes, for an extra $10, I'll let you eat me.
You kidding
me?
And
I threw her off me. I took the condom off me. There was a little sink, like a prison sink. I went over and took the bar soap, and I washed my dick and my balls. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. And I ran out of there, and I left my friends there. I took a bus back home, and I never talked to that kid again.
It can be traumatic.
It was horrible. It can be,
the one I remember, the lighting was awful, and I remember that, because we went back a couple of times. The first time, I was too young. I couldn't even get a hard on at all. I still don't. The two or three times I went there, it was going to be a blowjob. And then but even that, I don't get as turned. I can't get turned on. I don't know the chick. She's not somebody I like. She's not a chick that I find beautiful. I can't get turned on by a hooker. I can't. And I mean, even like a hot, like a great body, they just know there's fingerprints all over them.
It's crazy they're all around here. But I tell you what, ever since that dude said that, I go to one Chinese massage place because they're on the up and up.
Sure.
They're really on the up and up over there. It's $45, $40. They rub your feet with water.
Right.
They rub you down. Yeah. It's either a guy or a girl. The girl's a fucking beast.
Yeah.
She's a fucking beast.
Well, that's what you want. Yeah, you don't
want to. But you know what? I made the mistake to go into the one across the street the one day.
What happened?
Oh, my God.
Is it a happy ending joint?
It's one of those happy endings. No. And I knew it when I walked in. I said, no. She goes, why? I go, why? First of all, you cannot touch your dick. You cannot touch my dick with that hand.
I know. That gets me too. I can't.
I look at their hands and I go, I don't want.
Should be making wontons. It's not holding my dick.
I got to make love to my wife. Yeah. You can't touch my dick with that creepy fucking hand. That hand has to be disgusting.
Right.
Even if they wash it, you know.
I can't.
I just can't.
You know,
when I was about 15, I had a best friend of mine that was still, to this day, with Goombas, come to me and he goes, I need a favor. Take a ride with me. He had the clap.
Oh.
And we went to a clap place, like the health department, for him to get a check out.
Do you take the fish food?
And he fucking, there was a chick there and a guy that had like sores around his mouth.
No.
And that went into my head.
Yeah.
Like a fucking, like Jesus, like the image of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. And for some reason, I'm a dirty fuck.
I've had my moments. You got through it all.
But you know what? No. I was really, like, when I was younger, I was a prude fuck.
Oh,
Catholic.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck no. Okay, I was.
Prude,
I thought you, oh, really?
Fuck Catholic.
Well,
you
got the whole Latino background.
Oh,
the machismo
element of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's crazy that I used to have a Cuban guy when I was, like, in the fourth and fifth grade. There was a Cuban guy that used to hang around my mother's bar. They shot him. His name was Elio. He was Abacua.
Abacua.
And one day, him and a bunch of Cuban dudes were talking. And he pointed me out. He's like, if somebody wants to suck your dick, they suck your dick, whether it's a man or a woman.
Oh, shit. What?
As long as you don't suck their dick.
That makes you not
fair.
If
somebody
yeah.
wants you to fuck them in the ass, fuck them in the ass. And I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck are you talking about? That was their machismo.
Yeah.
That was their level of machismo. That. I'm not a fag.
You're a fag. That kind of thing. I'm no faggot. You're a fag.
No, I'll fuck you.
Yeah,
in the ass.
I fuck you. You didn't fuck me.
Right.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Yes, those guys.
A lot of guys down south like that.
What?
I
ain't no faggot.
They had when I was a kid. My mom would always call me Bugarrón, and I would go, "What the fuck?" And Bugarrón is a dude who in prison. He takes a guy and he goes, "Lee, from now on, you belong to me."
I like that.
Put a wig on.
Yeah.
Put a lipstick on.
Yeah.
I want eyeshadow on you. I want you to shave your balls.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to fuck you in the ass, and you take orders from me. Like, you do my laundry, you cook.
Okay, but what is that?
You belong
what
to
is
me.
That? I get that. They got to hold your fucking belt loop, the whole thing.
But here's the deal. You fuck them.
Yeah.
They suck your dick, but that's
they don't fuck you. That's it.
No.
They don't touch
you. And you could smack them,
right,
treat them like women, smack them like
it's. But I need to know what that is. What kind of man is that? I don't get it.
I never met one till 1985.
Does prison, are they only in prisons or the other places?
In prison in Cuba.
Do they have it before prison?
I don't know.
Is that something they want to do before prison? Are they latent homosexuals?
When you go to prison,
I can't imagine that. I just can't.
And you, let's say I'm a drug, like the dude I knew that did it was a drug dealer. And he had been in prison. I guess he was in prison with one of the guys. And when he came out, he hired his cousin, put a wig on him. And they held the coke on the street with heels on.
Holy shit.
And fake breasts.
Really?
And he would sell coke on the street in San Francisco.
Wow.
So one day a friend to me, when I went to San Francisco in 85, I had a warrant in Jersey. And basically when I was doing in San Francisco, I was a con man. I had a suit, and I would go to hotels every day with a Wall Street Journal, and I'd sit in the lobby and wait for people to check in.
That's great.
I'd listen to what room number they were going, and I'd run upstairs 10 minutes afterward, and I'd either steal the maid's keys, because in those days there was no electronic keys.
Right.
The maids would stick the keys in the door, leave the door open with the keys hanging there.
Sure,
I'd find out where the maid was at 9 o'clock and take her keys. Once I had the master key, you couldn't stop me.
Oh, my God, that must be.
I'd wait
how do
for you
stay
to
home?
Check in. So there was. I lived in the Tenderloin.
Oh,
I lived in a place called the Virginian Hotel, which is now the Hostel. And across the street from there, that was the Hilton. That was my prime spot.
Ow.
So I would wake up at 7 and go to the Hilton, sit there with the master key. And there was no cameras in those days. And I'd wait for you to check in.
No cameras.
And right. I was doing it, but this is where I got greedy. I was doing it at like 2 or 3 different hotels.
Shit.
I had a guy that would buy it from me, no questions asked, no ID, right down the corner.
Really?
And then the Cubans. I met these refugee Cubans that had come in from Mariel. And wow. They were real deal.
Yeah, right.
They were real deal.
For sure.
And their sponsor on the block was an old guy called El Puro. So whatever you made for the day, you had to give him a cut.
Little he was
the
old man. You gotta take a
piece. He owned the corner.
Right. Tribute.
And you hustled on that corner. Right. What could you do on that corner? You could sell coke. You could sell weed. You could mug somebody. But my main thing in those days was there was a Cuban thief that specialized in traveler's checks.
Wow.
He didn't know the language.
Yeah.
So for 50%, I would go to Japantown up in northern San Francisco. They wouldn't ask for ID on the American Express.
God,
I would put a suit on
world.
And just take something that was $32.50 with a $100 American Express thing.
Right.
And I'd pay for it until I got all the cash back. And then we'd split the cash and I'd take the merch and sell the merch.
Sure.
It was like fucking stealing.
Yeah.
I did that for a fucking sum. I mean, I was a one-man machine.
I know that.
And I worked for myself. It was just beautiful.
Well, yeah, no.
There was bad days.
Sure, but
and there was good days. When you had bad days, you always went to Poodle and said, "Let me get 50 to get me started, and I'll give you 65 tomorrow."
Fucking crazy. When my roommate Chico ran again, he's like you. When he was the one of the security guys at Scores, but he elevated to a position where, you know, it's a mob joint. Even the girls kick up to the security kicks up to the manager kicks up to the agent.
It's crazy.
The owner kicks up to the mob. It's all kick up, right? And so Chico, every night, this is when Wall Street's booming, Bill Clinton's president. Every night there was 2 or 3 credit cards that people, every week, 2 or 3 cards would be forgot. But by a Wall Street guy, not just some guy who drove in from Jersey, he's going to call it right in the next morning. But a Wall Street guy who goes to work late the next day, he's on the floor, he don't fucking care about his Amex. The minute we got this, we had a guy that owned suit stores on Madison Avenue. We had electronic stores down on Bowery. When we got one of those cards, the Muldoons, we called them, we called those friends for stereo equipment, for suits. We'd whack out the card, and the card would only be charged $50. The client would go, "Oh, I got to pay $50. My Amex was stolen." It was a small penalty. Amex would pay for the rest of the shit because it was theft. No cameras. We'd split the shit we buy. He'd give us suits. We'd give him cash. It was fucking great.
I even kept cards. Even after they were hot.
You could sell them.
No, I would keep cards because I would go to Chinese restaurants and get the lunch special. It was, in those days, it was $4.95 with a can of soda, $5.50 plus tax.
Right.
I would leave a $7 tip. What, are they going to open up the book and look at the numbers? There was no computer.
There was no computer.
There was no scan.
It was the,
So I always ate lunch on a fucking stolen credit card.
Right.
Just leave the card?
No. Just it was the same way.
It was the thing, right?
It was an imprint.
The imprint thing.
And then at the end of the day, they deposit in the bank, and the bank shoots it back. This is a stolen card.
And if that broke.
So I would go 2 days in a row, and then I would disappear. I'd go to a gyro place for 2 days.
Right.
And then once I get go back, I would never do it at my favorite restaurants. Mm-hmm. You don't shit where you sleep.
Right.
So you always kept the card.
Yeah.
It was a like, I can't even, like, today there's completely different crimes.
I know.
People go online, steal your card, you're done. But in the old days, I mean, I remember the first time I was exposed to it was a friend of mine who I'm still in contact with, his mom.
Yeah.
All he had to do was go to his mom and go, "Listen, I need 2 Apple computer, 19 inches. I need 3 iPro cameras and 3 microphones." She'd go on the internet, not in those days, but she, like today, she'd go, "All right, the 3 mics are $140 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
The computer's $1,600. You want 2 of them? That's $3,200. That's $48.
Right.
Give me $5,500. I'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Give me $3,000 cash."
Right.
"What are you going to say, Lee?"
"Yeah.
Well, I'll give you $3,000 because I just saved you $2,400.
Sure.
$3,000 cash tonight." Like that. That's how quick it was. Because she had cards. She would even get me jeans.
Yeah, no.
"What size jeans you need?" "32, 34. I'll get you 3 of them. Jeans in those days were $12 a piece. So for $20, you got 3 pair of fucking Levi's.
Well, no one loses. The guy that owned the suit store, You bought four suits. You whacked. He
was in on it too. He was in on it too.
He knew. He was a friend of ours. He'd open up. I want these three suits. Here you go. Boom. He makes money from the shop. And if you want to sell the suit, you can. We liked wearing suits. So he made money. And when the guy reported it stolen, Amex is only responsible for a certain amount. I mean, the whole amount. The store is only responsible for like $50. Something small. Amex pays all that bullshit.
They nailed me. They nailed me one time. One time, they had me, but they didn't. What had happened was I was a real fucking gavone. Mm. I had a friend who got cards. And for about 6 months, I tapped the cards very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I was very smart. With them. I was trying to get my life together. I wasn't doing blow.
Right.
I had just turned 22 or 21. And it was the first time I hadn't done blow in like 6 years.
Oh, my God.
I started at 79.
Oh.
And New Year's 84, I said, that's it.
Wow.
And I fucking, but I still dabbled with the weed. I didn't drink then, so it wasn't about drinking. And a friend of mine, I bumped into him in Manhattan one day, and he goes, can you move credit cards? I'm like, what do you mean move them? He goes, I don't use them. I go, I'll do it.
Yeah.
He goes, there's no ID, but just go to places that you know.
Right.
Let the people know. So if you go to a restaurant, Lee, come here. It's a stolen credit card.
Right.
So
charge
it, and I'll give you $100 tip.
Right.
Then you make $100. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Get yourself a buffet to go.
Right.
You're the waiter, so I cut the deal with you. You're my friend. I grew up with you. You're not gonna get in trouble. You didn't know.
I didn't know.
Don't know nothing. Yeah. He had no stolen.
I know.
So I would go to places that you worked, Lee, and we'd run up a tab, and then I'd say, "Give yourself a $300 tip and give me $100."
Yeah. I know. You got to do it.
You have no idea, Lee.
Yeah, yeah, people.
There was money everywhere. And then I moved to Boulder. And I'm walking around.
That must be the Wild West.
I got 18 grand. I got 10 grand in the bank account and 8 grand cash in my room. And I'm down to 4 grand. I go, what am I doing? Who am I fucking? Johnny Gambino. Yeah. I called my buddy and I said, send
robbing.
Me some cards.
Yeah, yeah,
he goes, well, you got to send me 500 a card.
No.
I'll put it in the fucking mail tomorrow. Right. I send money over 2,500. You send me a fucking 5 cards. And it was all over after that. It was all over. But, but the problem was nobody would buy stolen merch in Boulder. That's not the in Boulder.
We weren't the guys driving around in the cars with like the extra box of
the extra seafood. Those are the worst.
You don't. No,
that's so bad.
No, the speakers. Well, the speakers.
Let's say you live next to me.
Yeah.
Like I had a buddy who lived next to me who did steroids and did blow. I went to him one day. You want to buy these?
So easy.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You know, every hot merch was not acceptable
out there,
in Boulder.
You come out, East Coast.
So I had to keep shit. Once in a while, people would buy it.
Right.
The only thing people would buy from me were pens.
What the fuck?
I used to go into those stores, antiques, and us.
Oh, those kind
that have
of pens.
The frames.
Oh, okay.
And I would steal cross pens.
Oh, those.
I would tell the lady, do you have that cross pen? And this chick would go over, open up the bottom drawer. And then somebody else would distract her. She'd take the key and leave the drawer open.
Oh, God.
And I'd take all the gold-covered ones and take them back to fucking the car dealership and sell them.
Yeah, I was going to say businessmen love that
shit. No, I was always a 50% type of guy.
Yeah.
I stole it, so 50% is
profit
anyway.
You're making money. You're making a fortune.
You're gonna,
yeah, it's perfect.
Fucking craziness. Craziness.
I love that shit.
Craziness of me going. I remember being at the Boulder Mall one time. Summer of 85. It's August. I'm walking through this mall. I'm 21 years old. I'm trying to get my life together. I'm walking through this mall. And I'm going, I cannot believe that this is happening right now. If I had my friend Dan Rago here, God rest his soul, we'd make $1 million.
Yeah.
Our senior year in high school, we would both have like gym at 10:45. We would get in his car in high school, we were juniors, and drive up to Sears Roebuck and open up Sears, the back door, where the automotive is.
Oh, yeah, all the
shit. Right by the back door, there was a stack of car speakers.
God.
Blow punk.
It was big back then.
And all you had to do was walk in and take a pair and walk out, and we'd get $35. We each get $35.
Yeah.
That's 70. That's like half a gram of blow.
Sure, that's all you need.
And a $10 bag of weed and a six-pack of beer.
Yeah.
We would do that 3 days a week until every box was gone.
It's great. It's
like every fucking box is gone. Every box is gone.
It's too easy.
And I'm embarrassed to say these stories, but they're the truth. You know what I'm going to fucking tell you?
When I was 16, 17, we're living on Long Island, and good neighborhood, but we were the poorest family. You know, my father was the older, and everybody was young coming in. But a few of the developments of it was where all the new houses were going up with the younger money, you know. And I would go. My father had a big Cadillac, and I would go at night with a shovel, dressed in black, and I dig out. I love hedges and plants, and I know what's expensive, what pines, what fucking, I know all about plants for some reason. I would rob every beautiful hedge, young rose bushes. I knew what everything cost. And I bring them back. My father knew I was doing this. It was like a tribute. Dad, look what I got last night. And I put him in the yard by the pool before he went to work. He'd go, I like that pine. Yeah, put that rhododendron over there. That's nice. Give that to Rosalie. And then some mafia guys down the street heard I was doing it. And they go, you know, can you grab us some of these? Said, yeah. So I started going out with my father's Cadillac. I lined it back with Glad bags. And I was a one-man operation. I dig fucking, and they were in the earth for like a few days. They weren't like sunk in. You could just pick them out, put them in the trunk, boom, because no one lived in the model homes yet. It was all homes that were furnished and the landscaping was done, but nobody lived there. There was no cameras once again. It's a model development. And it was a good hustle for like a summer. I missed them by a few grand. And they paid $50 for a bush, this one, a bonsai tree, like good-looking shit.
Did you ever get the same house like multiple times when they kept refilling it?
You know what? I got a school that way. I got the school across not across the street and down the block from my house. And then I got to be like, I can't keep hitting the school. They kept putting this beautiful spruce tree in, like 4 foot high. I'd pull it out of the ground. And you had to do it during the winter when the root ball is still going to be alive. My father let me do that shit. He thought it was so funny.
I never got one of the sickest things I ever did was I got involved with, they were my neighborhood friends. It was like Sabatino and Carlos Perez.
Chicha Bastich.
No, Chicha Bastich was a Kennedy School guy. This was the Given That Terrace crew. It was in those days, it was Carlos Perez, me, Sabatino, Dominic Special, God bless his soul. A couple other kids I may forget. There was a soccer field. It's called Schützen Park.
Schützen.
Right in Union City. Yeah. It's been there since fucking before Hitler. And it's a German place that serves German food, but they also cater it out. You can have parties there.
Oh, yeah?
So they have all the political parties right there. When we were kids, they practiced baseball back there. North Bergen had the rights to practice Little League baseball back there. And there was a soccer field back there. So on the weekends, the German soccer team would play back there and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it was basically, it had stands.
Yeah.
I don't know what you could fit in there. I don't know, 2,000, 3,000.
Yeah, it's a park.
But it was covered by this tin thing.
Oh, it was covered. Oh, okay.
It was covered by this tin roof. And for years, starting, I mean, I remember going up there when I was like 10 and hitting balls with the Todd brothers. By the way, one of them just died, the Jeff Todd and Rich Todd and Vanacek. And we go up there on our own and play ball. Right. But there was a guy back there, his name was the Butcher. And if he caught you back there, he'd chase you with a knife and a German Shepherd.
Oh, Shepherds with a dog back then.
But the beautiful of it, we used to go up there and ride the motorcycles, and that would really drive him crazy. He would chase you and say all those zig howl words and shit.
Right.
But we figured out, one day somebody told me, when my mother first died, I had all these different friends, and I had good people in my life. But I had this one particular kid, Mike Denny. Everybody called him the devil. Like, people would go, he's the devil. I took a liking to Mike Denny. Mike Denny was a short wrestler that went to Lehigh.
Lehigh, yeah.
And but he just had a, you know, he was one of those guys that every time you did something with him.
Do trouble.
You came up short.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to believe what happened. The guy gave me 300 instead of 5.
Yeah.
And I tolerated it for about a year, and then I lost him as a friend.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, he was a money-making machine. When it came to make money at night, the problem with him was he robbed all the wrong people. Right. His father owned a ship refurbishing company. So when a ship lands in Newark or in Hoboken in those days, after 6 months at sea, they come in, weld off all the barnacles, repaint
it. It's a big job.
They get year contract.
Yeah, it's a big job.
Well, he would go back at night and steal the hulls.
Oh, Christ.
And steal the fucking shit that belonged to the ship. Oh, the new he was just a fucking moron.
That's crazy.
But I'm snorting coke with him.
Yeah.
Listen to Aerosmith, get your wings in an RX-7. Right. He's got to be 20, and I'm 16.
Right.
And that little crew, we put together one day. Somebody mentioned that that tent above the soccer field that you could sell it.
It's worth something. Yeah, like copper.
Like copper. Like
copper wiring.
Listen, everybody in my neighborhood got a ratchet set. And at night, before you went out, Lee, you took out your rattiest clothes, and we'd go up there, me and you, every night at 7 o'clock, because Butcher would get off. Butcher was off between 7 and 8. He took a nap. So we'd get up there, climb, and ratchet those things
take
off.
Big fucking panels
throw them off.
Yeah.
You had to slide off or you fell off. It was fucking scary. And I mean, little by little, you saw sections disappearing. Lee, it was like fucking.
What could he do?
It was like little by little every night. And then somebody else caught on. So I would steal a sheet. He would steal a sheet, and then he told his friend, and his two friends started stealing two sheets.
Yeah.
So now we almost turned into a war. Like, wait a second, this is our turf here. We've had this first. Me and the devil.
Schutz and Park is ours.
Carlos and Sabatino had this first. They fucking stripped every piece of fucking tin. Schutz and Park had to put a tarp over it, a paper
That's
tarp
great.
For the soccer
That's
game.
That's great.
That was a hustle for a whole fucking summer. And we were getting like $55 a thing. There were so many people I used to bring things to.
Yeah, those
that
I don't
would
know.
Pay me
I don't
money.
Know where those people are anymore.
I used to know how to have a transmission guy.
Yeah.
That would give me money for sawdust.
No.
Because they fill the transmission with sawdust.
Yeah.
Where do you get sawdust?
Lumberyard. It's very
small. So I used to work at a lumberyard.
They don't clean up every day?
And when I got the job, the kid that had the job before me, he told me right off the bat, he goes, listen, number one, you got to steal. Because if you don't steal, they're going to know I was stealing. Number two, this, I have existing contracts.
Are you kidding me?
And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, on Saturdays, a guy comes in and buys 40 sheets of plywood, he'll give you $400 cash. Give me $100 from now on. And I got another guy that comes in on Thursdays and gets 20 sheets of because marine plywood was $64 a sheet, four by eight.
Right.
He would say, and it was galvanized, so you could put it on boats.
Yeah.
So he would say, charge him 20 a sheet. I mean, there was days. It's a lot to remember. There was days me and four gorillas would load the back up. And at the end of the day, there was no sheets left. And I was a junior in high school.
Yeah,
I was robbing them blind, those poor fucking people.
Yeah,
but there was a family at a transmission place, and they would tell me when the barrels get filled up, give us a call. So I wasn't allowed to sweep and put in the thing. I would sweep and put in barrels, and once I'd get five barrels, they'd give me like 100 cash, which was every week. I got 100 cash from them off the top. The job paid me $6 an hour.
Yeah, you got to make a living.
But I probably made $1,000 a week out of that.
Right.
They had an old school register. So, which meant if you spent $8, it would come up $8. But if you came in, I'd say, how you doing today? Oh, nothing. How you doing, Joey? Nice to meet you. What are you looking for? I'm redoing my basement. I need 10 sheets of 4x8 plywood at $44 a piece. You know, 10 sheets, that's $440.
Right.
I knew that plus tax.
Right.
I would fucking do the register.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it on my there was a calculator.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the register would be packed. There would be four salesmen at the thing. Right in front of them. They didn't know that I had loaded the sheets on. I would take the sheet and do the tax like for $440 plus tax. And instead of ringing in $488, I'd ring in $88. And the guy would give me $488, and I put $88 in the register and keep $400 and lock the register. I did this every day.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's how I snorted coke my sophomore and junior year.
Yep.
And then there was an old school gangster in there. I'd rather not mention his name. And his angle was he was buying nickels and stones.
Really?
He wasn't buying nickels and stones. He just said that as part of his parole.
Oh, I see.
He was buying stolen gems and diamond rings.
Jeez.
So on top of that, I had friends that were burglars, and I told them I knew Mr. B. And they would give me stuff for him and stuff.
Right.
I'll never forget one Saturday, I found a bureau. There was a bureau on the street that somebody had moved. And me and my buddy said, I wonder if there's something in there. And we shook it, and there was change.
Oh,
and we took the change out, and we split the change, $1.50 in quarters and pennies. But that night when I went home, one of the dimes or nickels was weird.
Really?
And Monday, I took it to him. And he took a look at it with a thing, and he goes, You take 800
for it?
Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
I'll take 10 cents for it. It's a nickel.
He didn't even have to, he could have gave me $80. Anything. That's how honest he was. He goes, I'll give you 800 for it. Holy he goes, I'm going to sell it for 12 right now. I'm going to give you 8.
Right now.
He goes, he'll call a guy who knows he needs it.
He goes, who got you? It's like, well, a guy that's a specialist. He thought it would be worth about 7. He goes, all right, I'll give you 8. You keep 100 off the top.
Thanks a lot.
I had that place wired for sound.
Yeah.
I wouldn't show up on Saturdays.
So you have to.
Every Monday I wouldn't show up. Sunday. I wouldn't show up on Saturdays, and they wouldn't even say nothing to me on Mondays.
Right. Right.
AJ's saying this like you're telling him, like, oh yeah, my family used to go to have ham for Christmas dinner. Like, this is normal for you?
Yeah.
This was 17 years old. Rendell Lumber and Marine.
That's young.
North Bergen, New Jersey. This was when I quit the job. Jesus. The guy who gave me the job told me, you have to steal. If not, they're going to know how long I was stealing for. When he quit that job, he had like a Mercedes.
Condo. The owner's not even
they
driving.
They were robbing him blind. But it was a dirty lumber yard because they did dirty business. They had an account with the town, which meant that if A.J. Benzer was a commissioner, he could redo his garage.
Sure. Are you kidding me?
The town and nobody would know.
Yeah.
And they would play like they didn't know. Yeah. A.J. comes in all
the time. So everyone was making money.
Everybody
it was a big, it was a big,
money.
It was all.
It was the biggest thievery.
It was a big,
And he lived. And the guy who owned it lived in a town called Kenilworth, New Jersey.
Mm.
That's really rich.
That's a nice place,
And who else lives in Kenilworth, New Jersey at the time?
I don't know.
The great Sam the Butcher.
Oh, is that right?
That's
Kenilworth?
Kenilworth, New Jersey. I used to have to go up there and see the man and drop envelopes and stay in the car as a little kid.
Yeah.
Nobody know. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I lived with... When my mother had that barn, we lived in North Bergen, and I hung out with a family, and their family used to always take us on little rides. But let me tell you what, I mean, I don't understand hustle because you can't teach your child hustle.
No, my kid
your
has,
son
none,
has
does
no
have
idea.
Nothing in it. He's only kid 10,
okay,
but
Converse
I can tell.
Came out. Converse, everybody had Chuck Taylors.
Sure.
Everybody and their mother had Chuck Taylors. I want you to find the song, Give Me Your Money, Please, by TKO. By Bachman Turner
Overdrive.
Give me your money, please, okay? Every Saturday mornings at 7:30 in the morning, me and this guy, Frankie B, he would pick me up when I was around 12 or 11, and we would drive to Englishtown, New Jersey to the funny cars.
Yeah, it was a track, Englishtown.
But they also had a flea market out there. And if you drove 3 or 4 miles down... Hold on, let me hear that too.
Yeah, that. I was walking on down the alley.
Me and this kid would smoke pot and listen to this.
I got it.
All the way down to Englishtown, over and over.
Absolutely.
Because we were like, he was 3 or 4 years older than me. He could drive and I couldn't drive.
Right.
Watch.
Robin music, it is.
Give me your money, please. So we used to go down there on Saturdays, and there was a subcontracting place in South Jersey that worked for Converse, and they would stitch the sneakers up for Converse. Something they did there, and the mistakes, they would throw them in a dumpster.
Oh, forget it.
So I would jump in the dumpster. The first week I fucked up because I came back with unmatching sizes.
I was going to say,
So nine I came back 10, with 2.7s that were for the right foot.
Right.
Then I figured out if you're going to go down there, clean out the whole mess. So I cleaned out the whole mess. 16 of them would be Fugazis, but the other ones would be Julius Erving limousines for the feet.
Of course.
I would take them home, shoelace them up.
Right.
And sell them for, they were $21 at the store.
Yeah, Chuck Taylors.
And I would sell them, I would ask 15. If you had 13, I'd take it. But I'd sell 10 of those fucking things every weekend.
Sure.
Me and him were splitting $100, $200.
No, it's easy.
Bucks.
Are you kidding me?
Banaka was down there.
Banaka.
You know
mouth,
how many times
the mouth spray?
You know how many times I jumped into that Banaka fucking dumpster?
Banaka. That was the...
And we'd steal, it was close to the Union City. and I'd steal all the mistakes that had a lot of peppermint, and they'd spray their things, and they'd be all
fucked up. That's the smell of every date in high school, Banaka.
They had, Banaka had a spray.
Banaka Blast.
And Banaka also had a little container.
The drops.
That you put it on your tongue.
Your tongue.
I remember
strong.
I put one on my dick one day on a bet. I put one on my dick one day, dog, on a bet. That thing stung for 2 days. I was about 13.
You can't. The Banaka drips on the tongue was strong.
Oh, my God, Lee. It was a little bottle like
what
this.
What kind of bit is that?
It was an oil. Listen, it lasted all night, but my scam was in college, I worked at Macy's in Bayshore, and I didn't want to work at a register. I wanted to do maintenance, which meant you take a cart around, you take all the hangers from behind the register, empty the garbage can, but I also had a key to go in the fragrance section. Now, where all the ladies sold... You know, in the 70s, cologne was huge. Colognes and perfume, huge business. Everybody had the perfume, the right cologne, Paco Rabanne, all that shit. So I would be able to go in the cage, which had all the fucking cologne for the holiday season. But if Macy's, the way they deal with it, if the wrapper come back with a leak or if it's ripped, it's not good enough to put on the shelves at Macy's or to put in the glass case. So they'd have to send that back to the manufacturer. Send it back to Calvin Klein. Send this back to Koros. We can't use it. There was a leak in the box. I'd throw them out. I put them in the fucking in the wagon, and we had a trash compactor. And next to the compactor, there was like 8 inches of daylight between the cement wall in the back parking lot and the compactor. And I found that, and I fucking chiseled away at it more, and I was able to push a whole bag of colognes out. Every few nights, my nephew would grab a bag, or my buddy Chico. And then we'd go to a guy in Massapequa, three towns down, who had a flea market on Sunday and Saturdays, and he'd give us $5-6 a bottle. And he'd sell it for 14, whatever the fuck it was. It was easy. No one cares at a flea market if there's a little, you know, they're getting cheap perfume. I'm getting a free, you know, it was a fucking, it was like a few hundred bucks a month. It was easy.
I lived in a world that was so, like I used to go to this doctor. My friend came to me one day and he goes, I'm doing steroids and I need more. And I don't know who to turn to. And I said, and I started thinking about it. I go, you know what? I know a guy. And he was my family doctor. One day I showed up down there with a half a gram of coke. And I would just, in those days, I would just go to his office and cut in the line.
With a half a gram,
and
sure.
I go, doc, I got to talk to you.
Come here.
And he go, what? And I go, can you give me a prescription for Dianabol and Winstrol V? And he goes, absolutely.
That was the recipe.
And he go, but I got to send it to a pharmacy. Give me the pharmacy. And I'd send them to this place in North Bergen. And I remember going there, picking up 6 bottles. Even the pharmacists would look at me weird. Because there was such a scam. Yeah. There was nothing was monitored in this country anymore.
No.
You had an angle. There was nobody who needed. If you didn't need a job, you knew how to work the system. Number one, you got a job. You went to that job.
Right.
For fucking 8 months, you were dedicated. You didn't miss. You missed overtime. But guess what happened one day, Lee? A box fell and you hurt your back.
Yeah.
So now you got a law settlement and you're on disability and they give you $450 a week because you were making top dollar union. So now you're making $1,800 a month, right?
Right.
And you're not doing dick. But guess what? You hang out with me. So every day you're picking up a nickel a rule.
Yeah.
So either you make a nickel or you make $250, it's still gravy.
Yeah.
You're pulling down $18 and you're making $2,000 hanging out with me all week at a bar eating fucking lobster for lunch and calamari and watching General Hospital.
Easy.
Because by 9 in the morning, we've already put 3 scams together.
That's
and
all
now,
the mafia is.
And now all we're waiting for is for Johnny to show up with that 8-ball because we're going to throw a gram of cut on it.
Yeah.
We're going to sell it at cost, but now you and me have a gram of coke for tonight.
Tonight.
Now all we got to do is pay for alcohol. It was all day. Every move was covered. Every move was covered. And if the move wasn't covered, the move was covered. So I got a gram of money. I got 200. I got 60 bucks, Lee. You got 40. Let's buy a gram of blow. AJ's bartending at the Federal tonight.
Right.
Give him 2 bumps and we'll drink for free all night. We give him a $20 bill.
It's the best.
I mean, we drink for free. And I'm talking about $80 shots.
Top shelf shit.
Filet mignon, the whole thing. Yeah. But he takes care of the whole thing at the bar.
I don't think that, you know.
Just like that, for giving him 20 bucks and 2 lines of coke and maybe putting a Quaalude on the table.
I
did that every week.
Let me tell you, when I came out to New York, I put $20 in everybody's hands. $20 in everybody's hands. Every doorman, every chef, every waiter, before tipping, just because I'm in the room that night. And you know how far that fucking goes? Just $20 in someone's palm? on a Tuesday night, and the next day you're there, can you get me that stuff? Can you give me that? Can I get the drugs tonight? Got any pills? You're just wired in that room. The chef, you're wired with him. You're wired with the maitre d'.
It's amazing.
Then you got 10 restaurants
like that. Dantana's, they treat you like an animal. Once you put a half a yard in the guy's hand,
whole different restaurant.
You got a table and whole different restaurant. And that's what I do. I call under my name.
Christian. You go to Christian.
As soon as I walk and I give him a hug and I just put 50. Wife, I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait.
Right. I'm going to wait 30 minutes.
I'm a 50. You know what I'm saying? I got Lee with me.
The steak's hot.
He's been dreaming. If I tell Lee on Monday,
you think about
taking him Thursday for chicken parmesan.
Dantana.
He won't leave me alone for 3 days. At the end of every conversation, he'll go.
No, he can't.
I can't wait to go to Dantana's on Thursday. Yesterday, it was, you know, I'm home every other week.
Yeah.
And there's times that, and then, like, I like to take my wife for breakfast.
That's nice.
1 day a week.
Yeah.
One day we do a lunch, and then Friday we do date night. But some nights I go, you know what? I'd rather stay with the other one.
Yeah.
I eat my edible, and we watch Captain Underpants.
That's
and
fine.
I'm giggling like a motherfucker.
I read for that fucking
show. At 8 o'clock, I put her in the tub.
Yeah.
And my wife comes home at 9:30, 10.
Yeah.
She's got two beers in her.
Yeah.
She goes out with the school teacher.
Oh, forget it.
And they talk about kids.
Yeah.
And
they get it out of their system.
And
yeah.
she eats a dinner, and at least my wife gets to get some oxygen.
That's good.
You know, so... That's good. What the fuck are we talking about?
We were talking about getting people wide restaurants, $20 here, the Dantana's, the steak,
so
the wait.
I forgot. I'm fucking high on that weed. I don't know what the fuck I'm
I think you're going to talk about the fried rice.
No.
Oh, yeah. So story? Yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. So yesterday, I do a bunch of shit in the morning. You know, I dropped her off, but then I left my wife. I think my wife wanted to do breakfast.
Nice.
But I had to run errands. I had to meet this guy. And I get home, and she comes in from shopping, and I know she wants to talk to me, but I just walked in from kickboxing, from jiu-jitsu, which means for an hour and a half, I left my phone in the car.
Oh.
Now I get in, and there's 7 messages and 3 people I definitely got to
call back. Yeah.
So when I get home from working out, I take my dirty laundry. As soon as I walk in, I throw the water bottle in the sink. I turn the hot water on so disinfect it from my germs of jiu-jitsu. I take the gi, the rash guard, the underwear, and I throw it in the laundry basket.
Yeah.
I Lysol the bag, and I go in the room, and I put electrodes on my back.
Oh, it's great.
And I put the computer on, and now I answer all those messages and all those codes with the electrodes in my back.
Mm.
I get up with the electrodes. I smoke a bowl to get my appetite going.
Good.
Once the electrodes wear off, I take them off. I take a shower. When I come out, my wife makes lunch.
Perfect.
So yesterday she came in, I go, honey. She goes, I'm starving. I go, I can't fucking do this right now. Let me answer these emails. So I could see she was disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there answering all this shit, and right as I was smoking that bowl, I had the electrodes on my back. I go, listen, you're hungry? And she goes, I'm fucking starving. I go, give me 20 minutes. I'm going to go down to El Cochinito.
Oh, good.
Now, he's been sick. There's no ethnic food around here when you're sick.
No.
When you get sick, guys, you go home the first night as soon as you're feeling it, you pop a Theraflu, unless you got a prescription for one of those pills, Tamiflu.
Yeah, Tamiflu.
I got two of them at the house.
You
got
to hold them. Hold on to them. And yeah, hold on to them.
And even the expired ones?
Yeah, that don't mean shit.
Oh, that don't mean shit.
Expiration dates are bullshit.
Yeah, that's
bullshit. Full of crap.
So you take, as soon as you feel a little something, you take a little hit of weed. Like, and I got frustrated with Lee. I know he had bronchitis, but I wanted him to eat. Go to
garlic. Get some garlic in your system, man.
Garlic, there's just so much things you have to eat when you get sick.
Oh, I've been drinking tea like a motherfucker.
Tea don't do dick.
Tea's nothing,
Tea does dick.
You gotta put spice in your body. Yeah. You gotta get your blood moving, man.
Jewish lightning. You gotta put tea with brandy and a shot of whiskey in there and then sweat it out with a blanket.
Yeah.
This old remedy.
Italians use
that
red
shit
wine,
that you make,
honey,
that's garlic.
And lemon. Warm red wine, honey, and lemon.
Coat and honey, that's what I have.
They want you to drink.
That's the candy. They give you candy. It's candy, yeah.
They want you to drink Triaminic and fucking cough drops so you fall into
what you really need is an old Spanish grandmother. You need an old Puerto Rican.
They make the soup with the chicken bones in it. And you get those chicken bones in your soup, and that puts you right back tip-top Magoo.
Yep.
We don't have this here. Even the egg, when you get a cold, the best thing to drink, old school, what do women wash their pussy with?
Vinegar. I have it in my... I bought two
sour
bottles.
Soup.
Apple cider vinegar. Two bottles of
hot and sour soup.
Oh, hot and sour is delicious.
You drink hot and sour soup and you get cold. That vinegar drink takes the whole
vinegar is the best. Yeah,
out of your system. Sorry, I had to put it like that. What do you want your monkey with?
Listen,
vinegar.
Now I every night I goggle or swallow it because
really I've heard about people
even
doing that.
Even at the end of my salad, I always drank the rest of the vinegar in the bowl. I love that shit.
I love vinegar.
If it makes your nose run and it makes you hot, it's good for you. You know, if it makes your body start activating, it's good. You're sweating, your nose is running, you're all fucking, and you're crazy in your chair. When's the last time tea did that to you? I think tea's full of shit.
So it's funny, I go, let's go down to El Cochinito. I washed my pussy, and we got in the car, took it down to El Cochinito, and we met Duncan.
Oh, yeah?
My buddy Duncan.
Duncan, yeah.
Trussell. And right. We talked about the Comedy Store and a bunch of shit, and then I ordered, I go, let me call Lee. I go, Lee, take two hits off of John. No, you're not going to want to. Because I didn't tell him to get hungry.
Yeah.
I go, just take two hits off.
He didn't know why he was doing it.
He didn't know why.
Okay.
So I called him. I go, I'm 10 minutes away. He came down. I gave him fucking a sleeping pill and a fucking box of this.
It's the greatest thing.
Guano. Whenever you go to a Cuban restaurant, the last thing on the menu is going to be...
Queso guava?
No. It's going to be... arroz frito especial.
Something special, fried special.
That means it's fried Chinese rice.
Oh.
Special Chinese rice. No, it's pork, ham, chorizo, shrimp.
Fucking amazing.
It's like a paella.
It's like a paella.
It's a paella. It's really dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pungent.
Spicy a little bit.
They put fried not tortones, but the maduros.
Yeah, holy shit.
I go, Lee, take the sleeping pill, eat half of it. Because I got the recipe for that. Eat half of it. Listen, I had 103 fever one time in a hotel room after I did 3-8 balls in a week, one of those weeks where you get the flu, your body breaks down.
Right.
There was 2 feet of snow, and I had to walk to ShopRite with fucking sneakers on. I was going to get pneumonia. How I didn't get pneumonia? And how I did it was I smoked dope, and I went in the shower. I kept going in the shower. I made the tea, the British Steel, where you get the lemon tea, and a shot of whiskey, and lemon and honey, and I drank that shit, and you bundle yourself up.
Yeah.
The bronchitis he has multiplies if he goes to the gym and he comes out and the wind hits his back.
It's the worst.
That's when you're in trouble.
That's why I went to pneumonia.
A 6 week.
I was in New York
for
4 days in New York with 1 degree temperature, and I came home, and that's when I found that I had pneumonia 2 years ago. And almost killed me. A month in the hospital, surgery inside of my chest. They took my lung out, scraped it off. Fucking horrible. But I thought I just had bronchitis. So I kept working and, you know, hustling. I was filming a show, taping a show. And I would come home, pop a Xanax, drink NyQuil like it was a fucking soda, and knock out.
Knock out.
Doctor said, if you did that a couple more nights, I don't know if you make it to the hospital. Because my kidneys were shutting down because I take a blood pressure pill and a cholesterol pill. But the over-the-counter meds like NyQuil and Comtrex, that's no good for you.
That's no good.
I didn't know.
You can't do that.
So I'm dumb now. I'm fucking dumb. If you're taking a blood pressure pill, don't do it.
No, you don't take blood
pressure. Okay, then you're fine. You're too young yet. But boom. And then that's
shut my kidneys down. And the other thing is you're dehydrated at night. You got to be really careful.
I was dehydrated.
With the sleep apnea machine, I always have a gallon of fucking water next to me. And even though we're over 50, so we pee 8 times.
Oh, they say
I'd rather pee and
once.
Sometimes I don't drink water for so long, my ankles start to hurt, my skin being so dry. Like when I went to Colorado a few weeks ago,
it never happened.
So fucking dry.
Maybe because you're up there, maybe? Did it happen in LA?
Yeah,
the altitude, sure.
The altitude fucking killed me.
Well, one time I stopped taking my blood pressure pill, I got lazy. I said, I'll go to the pharmacy tomorrow. It turned into like 9 days that I hadn't taken it, like 5 years ago. And I started touching my shin for some reason, and it was like, it felt like my shin was like there was water in there. Because I'd press my finger and they'd leave a dent. I go, that's not my body. I call the pharmacist. He's great. He goes, when did you stop taking your pill? I said, like a week ago, I lied. He goes, get the fuck down here now. You can't stop taking those pills. You'll fall down. You're not getting up.
Yeah.
So he said, that's edema. You're filling up with water. It goes, you know, it went away in a day and a half. But it was alarming. I'm getting to the age now where you go, that's not good.
So if you start getting edema, do they
give you a diuretic? You need a pill with a diuretic so you pee a lot of liquid out. My blood pressure pill is a natural diuretic to begin with, so I'm up 5 times a night. They say you're up once for every decade you're alive.
I used to get up 3 times a night, and I ordered this thing, Beyond Raw.
What's that?
From GNC.
Oh, yeah?
And it's got like a bunch of stuff in it, so if you work out, you take that. It gives you extra protein and shit.
Oh,
I take it an hour before I go to bed, and I do sleep. I sleep 5 before I have to pee.
That's good.
5 in a row before you pee, and then 1 time, then I get another 2, and I'm
good.
I'm tip-top Magoo after I get the 2. You know what I'm saying? Tip-top Magoo once you get the fucking 2. Hold on, man. trying to fucking reach here. Let me give some shout outs to my motherfucking peeps here. Always in the house, Gray Smith, Steve McGee, Juan Carlos, Maurizio Della Pieta, Nuno Sousa, Jiggy McSauce, Crazy Flips, Jersey Made New Jersey, my brother, and my man Steve Camiso, you bad motherfucker. Thank you. Don't forget, cocksuckers, tomorrow night, Columbus, Ohio. It's sold out already. You fucked up. I'm not adding no shows. I'm an old man. I'm tired. There you go. A little something to go there.
A little cheech pastiche to go.
A little cheech pastiche to go. And don't forget, May 3rd, I'll be at the Improv till May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Smell that fart.
Nah, it's good.
It's tremendous.
It smells like frito soup.
It smells like acai bowl from the greenhouse juice house on Lancashire. I went there for breakfast. I wanted to clean out my system. I had a nice antioxidant bowl,
good,
which is cherry extract, a little acai, some fucking vanilla, a few bananas, and they grind it up.
Oh.
Then they put a little granola. They put some guju fucking berries.
Very healthy.
They put some coconut.
Nice.
Fucking delicious. You look like a doctor for breakfast. It's called the Greenhouse Juicery.
I'm going to have to go over there and see what I should do after this.
Dog, let me tell you something. I take it to the greenhouse, you drink a little kombucha. They have kombucha on tap. Yeah, it's been around for
hundreds and thousands of years.
16 ounces of fucking kombucha. Never done kombucha.
You like it?
Oh, the grape, the ginger ale, the cherry over there.
Yeah?
You get the ginger ale, you drink that cleans your stomach out.
Okay.
Nice. You know what I'm saying?
I still
who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Joey Bananas? Like I'm here giving you bad fucking advice. Ooh. If you go to the greenhouse, tell them Uncle Joey sent you. They're great fucking people. They're half Puerto Rican. I love them. Half the people who work there are PRs.
Nice.
So if you go in there, yell Boricua.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll give you a free fucking straw.
I don't think I'm allowed to yell Boricua. Am I allowed to yell Boricua?
No, you're not allowed to yell Boricua because you're fucking whatever. Don't forget, I'm also at the Tempe Improv, the 3rd to the 5th. What else is going on in your world, Papa? Talk to me.
I'm looking for a reason, because tomorrow night's the 18th. I'm going to be doing like a soft podcast. I'm going to sell and sign some books at Rockin' Riley's on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood.
Okay.
Meet and greet, sell some books. You know, I haven't done anything on the road in my podcast yet, so this will be the first time I meet some people and... we'll see what happens.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. You got to get out there.
You got to get out there.
Can't sit home.
You know, it's so weird how it's a different time now. Let's say right now you had your show on E! And your show lasted 6 years. And on top of that, you did a podcast on the side.
Oh, I'd be fucking on fire. On fire.
Now the show ends.
Yeah.
You don't end because you still carry that network, the same brain thought.
Right.
So it's such a different mentality now with the podcast world that you can retain. If Seinfeld...
Mm-hmm.
Let's say not Seinfeld, but the little guy with the bald head, Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
If he would have had Facebook on the way out of Seinfeld, you retain all those fans.
Sure you do.
And all those people. Me, we don't have fans here. The church, we're motherfucking family here. There ain't no church. There ain't no family. This ain't fucking Olive Garden, bitch.
That's right.
We're the church. We're a fucking solid family. We help each other out when we can. You know, I try to go to the message board and fuck around with people that Dickie Syatt. And my other brother running, what's his name again?
Scott Cunningham.
Scott fucking Cunningham. I got so high, I couldn't remember him.
You're very active. I see you always talking to people online on social media. You always pop on, take care of people. That
is why social media is for.
I love it.
There's a lot of people who come at you fucking weird.
No, I get it. You can't
go at them.
I know, you can't.
There's people who write loss on the webpage. They know that I've gone through a loss.
Yeah.
And I want to condone some. You know, I want to let them know I'm there. They're fucking there for me.
That's what you got to do. You got
to
listen.
This is not. I don't want you to be one of those people that listen to 20 podcasts and you move around.
No.
I want you to watch us grow. I want to be there when you suck, and I want to be there when you're good. The Yankees are never always good.
Right.
Some years they suck. That's why I respect a guy like Nick Vitturo.
I'm on forever.
Because these guys are Yankee fans.
Yeah.
They don't buy a Yankee hat the week of the fucking thing. You know, I got Bob Lalingas and Bobby Sharon. And look at who I was with last night. Garnett came to the fucking comedy show. I took a picture with him. But I got a hat on. I look like I'm too fat. He's got, you know, he's Garnett, whatever, from Canada. He hung out with Tripoli and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's a great fucking kid. You know, we have certain, you can't run a quick one on us.
No.
We know who's been here since day fucking one.
Right.
From Cleveland,
Garnett, 81.
Spooky. We know Leon. We know.
Can't be a halfway crook.
What's my little young brother up there doing, kicking people's pussy up there? The 18-year-old kid.
At the fourth wall?
No, the fucking kid up in Canada.
Oh, Cassius Morris.
Cassius Morris.
I'll be on his podcast. I was supposed to be on it already, but once I get better, I'm going to be on his podcast again. No,
bro. We know who's been there since day one. So I want to appreciate you guys for always kissing. And do me a favor. Give AJ Benza a try. AJ Benza got a lot of knowledge. He knows gossip. He knows whose dick is getting sucked before he does. AJ Benza, if somebody's dick is getting sucked and there's a wire in the room.
It used to be mine. Now I know who's
AJ Benza gets the fucking email. Zip. So it's Harvey's cousin's getting his dick sucked. Harvey Jr. is back in town and shit.
You know, broke Trump's story, that story that just hit, that he maybe has a love child? I broke that last Sunday on my show. It came out in the newspapers Thursday. I broke that a week and a half ago. I know the chick's name. No one knows. Judy Cintron.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, don't worry about it. There you go.
Oh, that's a good one. See, that's what you get from those acai.
That's still from Silver Lake? Oh, that's from the acai. Oh, yeah. he's waffing it up.
You gotta live this far. Well, this is tremendous.
I've never been happier to be congested.
I'm in the hot box seat,
this
too.
This is gonna zip right through your fucking nose.
No, it's not.
Between right the bronchitis and your asshole. I'm in the middle of a fucking...
It's tremendous as shit.
A mash unit.
I'm happy you came out today.
I love being here. You're kidding me,
around
I love
the
it.
Corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, the studio where you tape is next to my juice place.
Oh, that's the place you go.
Yeah,
you came in talking about, okay.
There's got Joe's Coffee there. Joe's Coffee.
I go there too, every Sunday.
Joe's the man. I go to Muay Thai with him, and then three doors down is the greenhouse,
and you know what?
Solid.
That pizza place isn't bad either.
Which one?
Mama, what the hell's?
No, don't tell me that.
No, listen. For a big pie,
I'm
not talking about
pre-made.
Well, everything. This is fucking Los Angeles.
No. This is that comes.
What? No, it can't be.
I swear to God.
No, not Mama's.
Yes, yes.
How'd you see it?
Please. And
I gotta tell you, I'm a fucking New York there, John's Pizza Totone's.
Every time you go in there, it smells like armpit.
I don't think it's a
Mexican dog. No, don't go in there no more. Please, don't even talk about it.
Only my wife. Instead of getting the fucking. Well, look.
Don't go in there.
Here, I'll tell you why I'm going to talk about it. I won't. The alternative was, so on Fridays, the kids wanted pizza, and my kids don't know from New York pizza. They've been to John's once.
Domino's.
So that,
it's great.
Papa John's. What do you want to go? Papa John's is good. And I hear, how could you order that shit? Let's go to at least go to the pizzeria. Find a good pizza place.
Danielle's on Laurel Canyon.
All right, Laurel, but I'm on Coenga and Magnolia, but I'll take a ride for pizza anytime.
Nice. And you get it
Danielle's
in the cage. Don't make them make it there.
The best place is Larchmont.
You got to get
on
it
Larchmont.
The old school.
That's a good
old
place.
School.
That's a good. A little too
then
far.
He turned, then he sold. Then he opened up two of them.
Yeah.
And he got greedy. The problem with that place was it was too much drama to get a slice.
Oh my God!
I got to pay for it. She's got the sheets of paper.
Yeah.
She puts in the window. The Mexican got to put it up.
And it's a scene.
And then you got to sit and wait for the slice. That's not what a slice is. A slice is,
boom.
Here's a dollar.
Fold it and
you
go.
You throw it in. You take my money, and then you take it out and give it to me.
Oily,
I don't give a fuck if your dollar.
There's fucking oil dripping on your wrist.
I don't care if your finger's got AIDS on it.
Of course
just give
not.
Me my fucking slice.
Of course not.
Sucker.
That's why it's nothing better than walking down a New York City street with a slice of pizza with oil going down your wrist.
AJ Benza, you're a fucking trip. You know that. Anyway, listen to me. Are you hiring? Posting your position at job sites and waiting for the right people to see it. What are the chances? You know what I'm saying? Listen, ZipRecruiter knows there's a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. That's one day. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for and identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. And the right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter is how you find them. But listen, it doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you received so you'll never miss a great match. Listen, businesses of all sizes use ZipRecruiter. You're in a pinch? Right now, do me a favor. The Church family can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. I said free. What did I stutter? Free. That's it. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's ZipRecruiter.com/church. You know why? Because ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. The best way to hire someone. Don't forget, Columbus is sold out tomorrow night, so don't even bother. But May 3rd through the fucking 5th, Tempe, Arizona. Oh, shit. We're coming in deep with the Agostino. It's fucking 3 days of fucking bedlam. You understand me? So I'll see you cocksuckers in Tempe. And don't forget to keep the fucking struggle. We going down deep, motherfuckers. Again, I want to thank my man, AJ Benza.
Anytime.
And I want to thank my little brother, Lee Syed. And I want to thank you guys for being family every week. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend.
Beautiful.
By chance, his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home, there are 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby cause she couldn't afford to feed it, and it was sending people to the moon. In September my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing horse. It's June. Shine it on. But if a night falls and a bomb falls, will anybody see the dawn? Time. Time, mess with your mind. Heard before, too late.